How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good. Did you adjust your chair midway through that intro?
I did.
You just dropped down in the video feed there. It was highly amusing, let me tell you, listeners.
I'm able to double up. I'm able to also do an intro and be like, wait, no, my mic isn't perfectly in line with my mouth right now. And like, oh just, you know, I'm a bit of an improviser. I don't know what to say it out loud.
It's easier to adjust you than to adjust the mic, like, so.
Yeah, I wasn't going to move the mic, just like all the rustling when I'm trying to talk.
Actually, I know. I'm taking the piss out of you. I'm also too high for my mic right now, so there we go. And I'm down. And
it's
I'm
been
back.
A while since we did this.
yeah, it's been a while since you heard me on the show.
So if anyone didn't know, Sean was missing from this week's Hero Zero.
As was we had the audio.
We had a bit of a file corruption issue, and Sean decided to take his few days off, and he went off for the weekend, the bastard.
Look,
and
I just said no.
So I had to do it by myself. I don't hold grudges, the bastard. I really cannot stress enough how much of a bastard he is.
I say you do them all by yourself from now on, and I'll just have Fridays off.
Damn it. He's called my bluff. Oh, no. But Sean, this is Movie Monday, so what we're doing here is the stuff you love. I know you love movies.
Big fan.
And I know you're not at all fatigued about the current movie climate.
I'm not burnt out at all on things that I used to enjoy a lot.
You know what's funny though, is the Golden Globes were this week, and I was so happy, last week, at like seeing Everything Everywhere All at Once, the Banshees of Inisherin, like all the great movies with awards. I was like, yes.
Great original movies made with passion and love. My God, who would have thought it? They're good movies.
Shock, Tour, Love and Thunder didn't make it.
I thought they really could have beat Banshees for best comedy. That was up for best comedy as well. That was
I thought it was pretty funny. I suppose.
It's a dark comedy, to be fair.
If you give us a like and review, whatever podcast platform that you're listening to this on, it would really, really help us out. But Sean, we got to get started. It's another week. There was a very big trailer that dropped on Tuesday.
Or a very small trailer, Connor.
Or a very small trailer, depending on... That guy's real big right now. Oh. I got to go. But yeah, the Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Idiot trailer. We got a brand new one. It dropped on Tuesday last week. Of course it did. Yep. The day after we recorded.
Kevin Feige listens to the show, famously.
Famously. So we are getting to it 6 days later. We apologise. But we are starting this week with a bit of a rumour, Sean, that I didn't know if you're going to like or dislike. And it's about the Fantastic Four film.
Okay. I like the Fantastic Four.
I know you like, and you were the only fan of Fan4Slick, the 2015 classic.
No, I'd like to, look, I'm all for a bit, Connor. I would like to distance myself from that statement. It's a terrible film. Continue.
But Jamie Bell.
Look, we love Billy Elliot as much as the next man here.
Yeah.
But I can't sanction the Tom Silvery.
Do you know, I've seen Billy Elliot when his dad starts crying and he runs and he tells all the other people, all the lads at work that his kid got the dad.
Oh. Yeah, he got into the valley. Oh, it's so good. Good. Oh, good original films. Who would have thought?
So good. Well, Sean, there's been lots of talk. What's going to happen? Who's getting cast in Marvel's Fantastic Four?
Yes.
And with that comes a lot of rumours, a lot of hearsay. Originally, it was the guy from You. Penn Badgley, yes. Great hair does Penn. But now we're hearing that the front runner to play Reed Richards in Marvel's Fantastic Four reboot is none other than Mr. Adam Driver. Sean, I'm very interested to know where you come in on this.
I mean, interesting choice.
Mm.
He's built. I think he might be too built. He's too stocky and broad.
The way you wanted to say it was wide. He's a wide,
wide
boy.
But I don't want to encourage that kind of behaviour. No, he's a wide lad. I don't know if that fits with my idea of
I've
Reed
never
Richards.
Seen Reed Richards as an absolute unit.
Yeah.
But he'd be an absolute unit of a man.
Have you seen Adam Driver?
He's a fridge.
Look, that was full Ben Swolo mode that he was in.
That is true.
Maybe he's cut down since then and he's more of a... Because he used to be like kind of slender.
What was he like in Ghouls?
Adam Driver. That's not the name of the film, by the way, but it's the only
thing.
But
you knew the movie I was talking about just from that one word.
Yeah, The Dead Don't Die, exactly. He looks kind of like a normal man in that. Clearly still jacked underneath.
That's the issue.
They have him in a baggy shirt and it does a lot for him.
So I suppose the question now becomes, like, Reed Richards as a role, we are long known on this show to know comic book Reed Richards, he's just a dick.
He's a bastard
at all types.
Do not
Adam
like him.
Driver, I don't see him as a dick. It's going to be interesting, but I think he could play a real big bastard if he wanted to.
I don't necessarily think Reed Richards always has to be portrayed as a bastard. He is just, like, selfish and does bad things in the comics, and his curiosity gets the better of him and he'll forgo everything for that. That's why we call him a bastard. So they might go make him a more sympathetic character. Adam Driver is a fucking fantastic actor as well, so that it has that going for it. Like, I'm sure he's not gonna, you know, mess it up from an acting point of view. I guess it depends on who you cast around him. Then, what if they cast Scarlett Johansson as the Invisible Woman and they just recreate the entirety of Marriage Story?
Like, she's back. Like, she's just out. And now they're like, we're bringing you back, Scarlett.
You're signing on for 10 years.
It's another 19-picture contract. Like, we're locking you in early. I mean, you could, but I feel like Adam Driver is an interesting choice just in terms of age bracket as well. Like, it really depends on what you want to do here. Because, like, I'm assuming they're bringing them across using Quantumania. And like they've been active in other places.
Yeah.
So the idea is they've come across and they're already fully formed and fully functioning. I suppose the younger you go, the more likely it is you can have an origin story. But you need an origin story for a team that we've already seen two origin stories in two movies that are collectively bad.
No, because I think what might happen is we might get them. We'll see their first appearance before their first movie, I'm thinking. And so that's where we're just like, we learn about them, we learn what's up. And then in Fantastic Four, they fight I don't know, Doom or a version of Kang or something, and we just see them in action, basically. Like, we don't go through the space shuttle and the cosmic rays and all the rest of it.
They were also saying Austin Butler has been campaigning for the Human Torch role. So, I mean, if you got Austin Butler as the Human Torch and Adam Driver as Mr. Fantastic, this has turned out to be a fucking, like, serious cast.
Well, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, you got to go big for Fantastic Four, though. Like, if you want people, because there has not been a good Fantastic Four movie, so if you want people to buy into it, you just, like, give it the most unreal cast, like a Knives Out level of casting, and just throw that at it.
Ooh.
And then, like, because if you get, like, four A-list actors and then Doom, you are sorted.
Like, I mean, I think Adam Driver would be better as Doom.
I was going to come around to this. I also think he'd be better as Doom, but I feel that there'd be the worry of the Kylo Ren analogy, you know, the megalomaniac with a power hungry with a mask and robes.
I can see the connection, but at the same, when I look at Adam Driver, I'm like, you'd be a great Doom. Like,
you would be a pretty good Doom.
A scene chewing.
I also
Doom.
Feel like he'd do the mask the whole time. You know,
he would,
like,
actually.
Yeah.
Also, I could see Adam Driver as the Ting if he shaved his head. Shaved head Adam Driver as the Ting.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I could. He'd have to get wide again, though.
So he's so wide,
he's
though.
So wide. Don't even CGI him. Just make him get wide.
Just wide. He's not even built. Like, he's just fucking wide.
Just a wide, wide man. I don't hate it. I'll be happy when the casting is announced, because we can stop with all the...
Like, it's non-stop this. Being like, this is who we're going for. This is also who we're going for. We're also going for this. This is what we're hoping for. And to be honest with you, I think they start filming this summer. So you'd want to fairly get it locked in. And we know Krasinski is not in.
Yeah, Krasinski was like a cameo alternate universe fan cast for the trailers kind of a thing.
And so, like, I think he's even come out and said Kevin Feige asked him to do one day on set for the Doctor Strange movie. So that was about it. So I think he's out. A lot of people are watching this because I think that, especially with the current state of the MCU, a lot of people are now looking at this as like, this is the next big thing. Because, unfortunately, you always have to have a next big thing. Because ultimately, once you have Endgame, it's very hard to have a next big thing that's as big.
You need something to build to, and we haven't had that yet. So all we have is the... weirdly, instead of building towards like an event movie where all the storylines come together, we're just building towards introducing characters that we're waiting for, and we're just waiting to see them. Like, that's what the end goal seems to be at the minute.
And it's a weird place to be, so let's just hopefully get casting out of the way. I just want to see how you'd feel about Adam Driver. I like Adam Driver in most things. He's very, very good.
Yeah.
I just
don't
see him as Reed Richards.
He has outstanding comedic timing, and he never gets to use it either.
With him undercover on the ship, being Kylo Ren, just being like, I think Kylo Ren's pretty cool, guys. I don't know what you're all talking about.
Yeah, like, it's, and he'll commit. Like, he's a real, the more I talk, the more I just want to see him in an MCU project. Like, Reed Richards, fine. It would do well for ticket sales. But just anything, I think, would be interesting.
Okay, so moving on to our next piece of news, and this involves a movie from a TV show from the 90s, a cartoon from the 90s. Sean, we are talking Captain Planet. Top Gun Maverick star Glenn Powell has declared that the Captain Planet movie is still happening, with Leonardo DiCaprio down to produce it and said to be very interested in making it happen.
Well, Leo's all about the eco, environmentally friendly stuff. So yeah, that does make sense. Captain Planet, we didn't really get it a huge amount over here, but basically five kids have rings and they can summon the power of Captain Planet to teach them about caring for the environment. Is that right?
Well, Captain Planet, he's a hero. He's going to take pollution down to zero, Sean.
That's, I believe, is the term, yes.
I'm pretty positive that's the phrase. So a show from, I'm pretty sure, yeah, early 90s, maybe late 80s, early 90s. Very strange to see it coming back as a coming to the big screen, especially live action. I really don't know if this is going to work.
No, but I feel like it's I think it's probably a worthy thing to try, you know, because if it, like it's not news that the planet's fucked, so I don't know if it's a raising awareness thing.
But it's just a whole movie of Captain Planet screaming.
Just burning to death. Like
It's too far gone. He was here in the 80s when we had a hope.
He just goes around to like various, like they're cutting down rainforests and he's just screaming like, what the fuck are you doing?
And the last scene is him meeting Greta, obviously.
Just Greta like, has to show up in this. See, like, will this come across as like, you know, it's a fun way of getting kids involved in the environment, or, you know, a satire and it's a dark, gritty reboot and all this.
This is a woke agenda. This is what this movie is, mind games, right?
It could just come across as the most pandery, desperate shit designed by a committee.
Yeah. Like, and look, Leo, I mean, he's very eager to do it. I would have said, I mean, first airing, in 1990, which would make it 33, so a bit old for Leo, to be honest. But he's still...
I was wondering which one of us was going to fucking...
It's an old one, but a good one, this. the New Adventures of Captain Planet was produced by Hanna-Barbera cartoons back then. And look, it's a live-action movie, but here's where it gets interesting. It's with Warner Brothers. So they've kind of come out and said they don't really know where it's going to land because of all the restructuring currently going on at Warner Brothers.
Of course,
If it's even going ahead. But Leonardo DiCaprio is super passionate about it and they really, really want to make it. And so we could be getting a weird Captain Planet movie. I don't think you make it a superhero movie, but you kind of have to.
Yeah, like, I think they're just going to do superhero origin film, which will be kind of interesting if, like, because, I mean, with Leo as producer, I don't know how much of a hand he'll have in the story and shit, but, like, seeing that take on a superhero film could just be quite interesting of itself. But, like, what do you do? Like, is it that the kids from the cartoon are all grown up now and then they can still form into Captain Planet?
And they're just like recycling. Like, just really, really sad. Just like, oh man.
Just sorting through bottles, being like, we did everything right and they still fucked it up.
Also, what always confused me was there was earth, fire, wind, water, and they always do five kids, right? And so once you lock in those four, you're like, you're scrambling. You're scrambling for the fifth kid to have a fucking ring that is based off something.
What is the fifth one?
So it's earth, fire, wind, water, and heart.
I mean, that's important for any... Captain Planet wouldn't be Captain Planet without heart, Connor.
But, like, if you get the power of fire or the power of heart...
I mean, you can if you say that gives you the ability to control people's hearts.
Oh, see, now that's another fucked up level. I don't know if they ever delved into that.
Maybe not.
You do a movie where the heart kid turns bad. The heart kid is like gets fucked up. He's like, I don't have earth, wind, fire, or water, but what I have is the ability to fuck with people's emotions.
No, I'm not thinking I'm thinking he can literally control your heart. And how often...
Make it stop beating.
Like he can turn off your heart from a distance.
Just loads of sudden death syndrome. Yeah. Anyone who just pisses him off.
It's like Death Note, basically. That's what happens.
Fuck!
Yeah.
Oh! And Captain Planet has to be brought back just to stop that one kid who's gone too far.
Yeah, but Captain Planet doesn't have heart at this point, so he sides with him. And together,
because he's like, maybe he has a point. All humans must die.
Yeah, and he's just like, he goes in, he buys like just a liter of palm oil and just starts drinking it for 7.5 minutes of the runtime of the film, I'm thinking.
And he keeps getting the fire kid to just burn trees.
Yeah, dude, and the kid's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, and Captain Planet just gives him a fist. And he's like, no.
He's just like tears. I don't want to. And he's like burning all the Amazon.
Just like, yeah, and like the water like person there, like pouring water just into the desert, just like fucking that as well.
They're flooding little villages.
They're just in Venice and they're just causing chaos, man.
And Captain Planet is just laughing hysterically.
Yeah, he's got no heart.
And then the movie is you have to convince the heart kid that they didn't get the short end of the straw, that they're just as important as everybody else, even though I clearly control fire.
Rousing final speech, it's going to be Greta. She comes in and shows him the error of his ways.
And then like a big boulder just lands at her and Captain Planet just starts laughing. He's like, now Earth Kid.
But then Captain Planet starts eating a pizza and then it's all over.
Oh, fucking bastard. So I mean, a Captain Planet movie, I think you could be correct. It sounds a bit... See, the thing is, like, it's now right. Like, it's one of those where like, oh no, this is dead right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do it now in like a live action version without it just seeming a bit weird.
What if we took all the money that we're going to spend on the Captain Planet movie?
Interesting.
And we just put it all into renewable energy.
Fuck's sake. That, you know what?
I'm just thinking here.
What if we took every bit of money we were going to put into any movie?
Just for a while. Like for a couple of years.
Even for a year. Let's just take a year out.
Yeah.
And we'll all just build a load of fucking wind machines and hydro machines.
Like, I mean... Is that, like, I don't think that's a radical thing to suggest, quite honestly.
We'll stop doing the show.
Yeah, we'll leave it all. We'll plug in the environment. Just, that's fine.
Like a ceasefire.
Yeah.
For 12 months, and every bit of James Cameron's Avatar money goes into that.
Like, I get that movies are important and they employ a lot of people, but, like, big picture, should we not just do that for a while?
I love the idea this is the episode where we've turned on movies.
Just entirely.
Like, you know what?
That's how you know we're genuine. We'll be affected by this, like, as well, lads.
Like, we're taking one for the team here, lads, as well. But, like, we're willing to do it. Because, I mean, like, also, our Lazarus Pit show on the Patreon that people are very kind to support us with, I mean, that's old movie show. We don't support... Well, we don't watch new movies.
Going indefinitely, it's grand.
It's grand, lad. And the Batman was last year. I can rewatch that for 12 months.
That's how you watched all the Power Rangers movies as a child as well.
No, my story of the Power Rangers is they only had two VHSs. Do you remember VHSs?
I do, indeed.
In the local video store. And I used to just rent the two of them back to back every week. So one Friday would be one, and then one Friday would be the next. And I did that for a year and a half. I was 18 at the time, really.
Then the Blu-rays lads in college told you to stop.
I was in college. It was 2015. People were like, Connor, stop, please.
So that's the plan. We just put all the money for movies into saving the world. And then after like a year or so, we can make movies again.
You know what? I'm fucking with you. I'm with you. But
just any extraneous things. Like the World Cup, fuck it. Like, put all the money into trees, you know? There's going to be another one, though, presumably.
At some stage, 4 years from now.
Maybe.
So, like, we'll do it then. Yeah.
Olympics, Sean, get fucked.
Train for another few years, kid.
Think of how class you'll be at the Olympics if you had 8 years to train.
And you'll have 8 more years on the planet, lad, when you get older.
I just think, just consider it, is all I'm asking.
You say in Bolt. Like one of the athletes, they're like 32, they're like, this is their last chance. They're like, just take it off, lad, serious.
I would genuinely love to put that argument to like a politician and just be like, no, but why shouldn't we though? No, I get that, but if the planet's on fire, it doesn't matter.
12 why months, that's all we're saying. Just 12 months of working to get a ceasefire. That's all we're saying.
So look, I'm working on the Captain Planet movie, is all I'm saying.
We'll film it ourselves for free. Yeah. So, Sean, I know something to lead on from this. Because,
really?
Like, oh, absolutely. And I think this is going to really perk you up for what we're going to see in the future is Zack Snyder fans, they're back, Sean. Because what they're now saying is that the Warner Brothers Discovery, this studio, they don't know what to do with the DC world that was created by the Snyderverse. And so I just wanted to make you aware of a certain campaign
Fuck
that was being
sake.
Run this week with a hashtag sell Snyderverse to Netflix. And this was done in the hopes that Warner Brothers would sell the Snyderverse, or the rights to the Snyderverse, which would be Batflick, Henry Cavill Superman,
yeah.
and all that kind of
the
world.
The Flash that hasn't been released yet.
That hasn't been released, but they would sell all of that world to Netflix. So then Netflix could continue creating the Snyderverse, and James Gunn would then create the DC movies.
Netflix, who are fucking hemorrhaging money and cancelling things left and right.
Yeah, they want them to fork out money for these movies.
For the failed universe of DC Comics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bold petition, I'll be honest. Has it gotten much traction since it's been started?
A lot of traction, yes. I mean, the release of Snyder Cut worked. So now, sell Snyderverse to Netflix. I mean, that's going to be pretty big, Sean. It's after it was trending for many, many, many hours over
this
the last week.
Is terrible. Like, so they caved on the release of Snyder Cut thing.
Yeah.
So now they've set the precedent that they'll cave if you pressure them enough.
And I think a lot of the issue is that I see it even on the Heroes for Hire page. Is like, you know, like, obviously Twitter is now half broken, so you just get fucking tweets from everyone.
Yeah.
But now I'm seeing a lot of James Gunn, like, hate. Like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. This guy's a fucking idiot. Snyder. Now, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, there's a successful movie.
There's a success story. Now, they've all. And it's just kind of weird, because, like, I've seen those movies, and, I mean, I think I would just go to bat for a better project.
Yeah.
If I was going to go all in. and me and you were mostly laid back, so I wouldn't really give a shit. But like, if they were like, oh, I'm going to cancel the Batman, I'd be like, oh, that's a bad idea, because the first one was good. Maybe we should keep doing them.
Yeah, but when you've had the track record of, like, you know, at best middling to at worst absolute flop, then Why would you want that to continue on, in all honesty?
Yeah, I don't really understand it, but I wanted to let you know that they are trying to create a world in which the streaming service Netflix has the rights to Batflick and Cavill and Gal Gadot, and they do those movies, and James Gunn then does his own DC universe.
I don't think they want it, though. I don't think Netflix would want to buy it, honestly.
Netflix are dumb, though. They put money out for anything and then
Warner
cancel
Brothers
seven more
dumb.
Things.
Like, they're not. The thing is that they might see the petition as being like, oh, the fans want it. The fans really love it. And then they do it because of that. And then it's a massive flop. And then it fails anyway. And then it takes Netflix down with it. And then all of the like good original shows and animation get cut even further away from what's on the catalogue right now.
I also think it's such a strange environment for, like, their idea is that they would do the movies on Netflix, and so that, I think the idea is that then you ruin James Gunn's universe if the movies are also on Netflix, and it just kind of dilutes the waters, and then there's movies coming out of both networks and people are just confused. But like, I think people will probably want to see what happens with James Gunn's movies.
It's
first.
Just more interesting, like, than what's come before.
I also think actually James Gunn has come out and said he would like Ben Affleck to direct one of the movies in the DCU that he's building, which kind of fucks with the whole idea that he's doing a clean slate. He's like, oh, Affleck's really talented at directing. I'd like him to come in and help out.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I don't mind Affleck coming in to direct. I just think, just make a clear distinction of like, no, it's nothing to do with any of the old universe. Was there meant to be a big announcement about the DCEU last
there
week?
There was, but I think he said at the end of this month. I think he said at some stage in January, so it was a bit vague. But I think the idea is he's going to give us a proper timeline. But then again, I think they're probably just saying that. He'll probably give us like some movies and then they're still figuring it out as they go along. Because at the end of the day, it is still Warner Brothers. And they're just going to go day by day, see what happens.
No one is quite sure what the plan is.
So we're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean, and it involves an animated movie. based off a video game. So we've had Super Mario coming out. Chris Pratt obviously is going to be voicing it. But Sean, how would you feel about a Legend of Zelda movie coming out in animated form?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Those games are quite rich in story, though, already, aren't they?
They are, yeah. But I also think now, because of The Last of Us coming out, like, and that's apparently got amazing reviews and looks fucking incredible, I think we're going to get a brand new batch of video game movies.
I really don't want this, though. Just make new interesting things, please.
Also, Zelda's really great. Let's just leave the video games being real great.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, what do you adapt? Like, there's so much of it. Like, what, like, do you do the first game, like, from the NES? Or do you do Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think Zelda has, like, the Pokemon thing where it's such a wide world where The Last of Us is, it's a story. Start to finish,
there's an A to B, you are on a rail, basically.
Yeah, like, it's just a story. Whereas Pokemon or Zelda or any of these, like, Detective Pikachu, like, they could have chosen any time in the whole world. They just kind of have to nail down a certain time frame and then go from there. Yeah. And I think that's a lot harder to get right. You're like shooting a dart. Just like, okay, well, we're going to have to start the movie somewhere and finish the movie somewhere. But there's been like 19 versions of this fucking character. So, I don't know. Let's just guess.
Yeah, and like, I think it's... I would have said the same about Pokemon. I think they were clever how they did Detective Pikachu, turning it into a side story kind of a thing. But I think that Zelda is such a beloved franchise that I would nearly be too scared to touch it as a studio.
Now, here's the thing. Illumination are the studio that's going to be working on it, and they are working on the Super Mario Brothers movie. So I think Nintendo are going hard. If Super Mario makes a lot of money and it does well, they're going to be like, right, let's put them all in. Let's do them all.
I mean, and then what do we get after that, though? Like, we getting a Donkey Kong? We getting a Mario Kart movie in the style
Mario
of Fast
Kart.
And Furious?
We've already had Sonic. Is that Nintendo?
Sonic is Sega.
Sega, sorry, apologies.
Get Bomberman.
I want is a Bomberman movie.
I fucking love a Bomberman movie.
Bomberman, what a game!
Bomberman's fucking unreal, man. I love that game.
We have in my work, they have an arcade thing, like in like a room where you're meant to chill out, Sean. They've got this arcade
I love that
thing,
corporate
right?
culture, boy.
Oh, got corporate. You got to really bond with people, you know, man. Right, but nobody ever plays, right? But Street Fighter is in there, right?
Oh,
and Street Fighter 2.
Oh, the best.
I have become a bit of an expert in terms of not doing my work and doing Street Fighter. And now I pick Honda. He's my guy. And it started off because he had the quick hands, so I just fucked everyone up. But then the lad I play against is now so good at the game that he's adapted to that, so now we've had to get good. So now it's block, jump, block, like, rallies that happen. And at a certain point, we're now worse at our job, but better at Street Fighter.
I mean, which is more important to you, really?
Which is more applicable to life?
I used to play Baraka when I had it on PS2, I think. And there was one combo you could spam and just win. I'm that kind of player.
I have seen you play Batman Arkham Knight, though, and you did not win.
No, well, to be fair, you've played that game to death, and I hadn't touched it.
Yeah, but you got killed by one guy in a taxi.
No, I know I didn't get killed by one guy in a taxi.
It was two guys, and they got out of a taxi, and they punched Batman to death.
Yeah, because, look, Batman, I think we all can understand, is shit.
He was carrying injuries at that point.
Yeah, he was wounded.
Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news, and this involves one of our favourite directors currently working, Mr. Matt Reeves.
Yes.
He has confirmed that a sequel to his first big screen hit is coming, and that is Cloverfield. If you don't remember, Matt Reeves was director of the original Cloverfield back in the day.
Has that man ever missed?
I don't think so. Like, Denis Villeneuve, him, Del Toro.
Yeah, Del Toro hasn't really had a miss. Shape of Water was kind of weird, but
Greta doesn't really miss.
No, Greta's pretty solid.
There's a few people that just, like, if you look at their IMDb, you're like, oh, they're all either good to fucking amazing at all points. And Matt Reeves has Cloverfield from back in the day. This is his first big movie. And he's now announced that they are going to be doing a sequel. He might not be returning to direct it, but I'm assuming he'll probably be an executive producer
right.
if it does go. But also, Cloverfield has already had like 3 sequels as of this point.
Yeah, there were like films in the Cloverfield universe. So it's 10 Cloverfield Lane and the Cloverfield Paradox, weren't there?
Wasn't there another one? I thought there was like one on Netflix, like it's set in space.
Is that
or was that the Paradox?
I think that's Cloverfield Paradox.
Okay, okay. But,
yeah, and then 10 Cloverfield Lane is the one in the bunker, which I'm fairly sure was just a bunker movie that they slapped Cloverfield on at the end.
I think they did the same with Paradox. I think this Paradox was a space movie that they then just put the Cloverfield name on to sell a bit more. But although number 2, 10 Cloverfield Lane is fucking amazing.
It is like, great. It's so
a fucking great movie. So like this one is going to be called Cloverfield 2.
So okay.
Because it's the 15th anniversary this year of the original Cloverfield, which is like the found footage. There's a monster going around New York City destroying shit. And it was really ahead of its time. In just like nobody had ever really done that under like the Blair Witch Project, but this was like Godzilla but found footage.
Yeah, it was like the progression from Blair Witch to this was huge. And it's gotten a real like kind of cult following as well. Like people seem to really like that movie. Like the fans of it are very big fans of it. So with the second one then, I don't know the Cloverfield lore at the minute. I don't know what's going on.
It's one of those where I know some people are really into that, and it's just a world I never really read up on a lot, so I'm not going to claim that I know a lot about it. There's a big monster going slam around the city. That's kind of it. And then a lot of monsters took over Earth. And then 10 Cloverfield Lane is about the fact that there could be monsters, but there might not be, but there is. Don't go out there. They're definitely out there.
Yeah, and then so the big monster is still alive at the end of Cloverfield. So I guess it's a little resistance group trying to fight that big monster, maybe?
Yeah, I suppose. It's supposed to be a direct sequel to the first Cloverfield. So this will be the first, like, they've set out to write Cloverfield 2 movie. And I think Matt Reeves is going to be heavily involved.
What it could be then is that, like, because the first one was, like, found footage. So this one could be, like, you get a little, like a crack team and you send them in and it's true like their helmet cams or whatever if you wanted to keep that kind of motif going through it.
Cloverfields, but the S is a dollar sign.
Oh, it's Overfields.
It's in Ireland.
Yeah.
Just non-stop fields and farms everywhere.
They're just walking for ages. It's in black and white though, so it's very, you don't get the benefit of being in Ireland.
Also, I'm pretty positive Matt Reeves won. He was the original writer and director of the first one. Slightly busier now is Matt in terms of we now know he's currently working on the sequel to the Batman. And he has admitted that he is writing it as we speak. And I've seen a lot of tweets this week of just like a guy with like his paper on fire. And it was just like Matt Reeves writing this Batman 2 script. It's just like pure flames.
Yeah. Let him cook, man.
Hold up. Let him cook. I don't know where this is going to go. Do you think the world is interested in Cloverfield 2?
I don't think so, which is odd. Like people who like it really like it. But I don't think it has the mass appeal. 15 years since Cloverfield came out as well. That's wild.
That's like that will make you think of your own death, to be honest.
Oh, sick. Class.
Yes! no downside.
It's win-win.
I don't know if people care about, especially if they're going to do a found footage movie, which I think you have to in a sequel. I don't know if that's especially going to make a lot of money because it's been done to death since
that's
then.
True, but like, and I think for this to have any chance, it needs to be cinema only for a while. Like, if this drops into cinema for a week and a half and then is straight on Netflix, then it's just going to fucking die a death. Like,
yeah, I'm scared. I'm worried about this might not make it any money.
I just want Matt to be happy, you know?
But I also want Matt to be happy. So let's just give Matt nice things.
Yeah, so if Matt wants to do this, let Matt do this.
Also, if you've seen Matt in an interview, he seems like a very nice man.
Very nice, chill, well-adjusted man.
That's more important than how good he is. Just seems nice. Okay, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And Sean, this is a rumour that made me laugh. I don't know if it holds any weight, but there's a rumour going around that Marvel has the rise on a new Disney Plus series. And it's for one character alone, called Mr. Wong. That is, they're going to be developing a show called Strange Academy, based on the fictional school of the same name that appears within Marvel in the comic books. Mm-hmm. And it will be one of the most important tie-in stories leading into the Kang Dynasty, as it will have Wong teaching America Chavez and a lot of other smaller characters how to use their powers and, like, in a term of school environment.
Okay, yeah, so they're going to do, like, Camartage, Xavier School for Gifted Mutants kind of a story.
With Wong.
With Wong. Okay. First of all, as we discussed in depth in our review of Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, Wong should be fucking dead. He should have died in that movie, and it would have made it a way better movie.
Absolutely true.
Same goes for Korg and Thor, by the way.
So dead. Should have been so dead.
Start killing people, man.
Just kill a lot of people.
You can bring him back later. It's comics, but kill him for a while.
Just please.
And so, with She-Hulk and everything like that, there's this whole thing of, like, everyone loves Wong, and it feels really forced and manufactured to me.
Like, I think it's one of those where it started off genuine, and then they got on board with it.
And they're like, oh, you like Wong, so you'll like this, won't you?
So,
not necessarily. So putting it's a Wong series front and centre, it just rings of like, it's an Agatha Coven of Chaos where a character got popular and now they're making a show around it.
But, I mean, this is Phase Wong that we're in, Sean. So, I mean, like, Wong's been dominating these last few movies. And he's everyone's favourite. So, I mean, why doesn't he deserve his own series on Disney Plus that's ultimately killing the MCU?
It's like, it just seems like a weird way to divert their efforts when they could be improving any of the number of problems and paying all the VFX artists they don't pay enough.
Did you see the thing that they pay 20% less than any other studio?
Yep.
Not good.
Not good, lad. You have the fucking mouse money. Come on.
The mouse is fucking loaded. I know he's loaded. He's got it.
He's got that cheddar, weirdly enough.
But yeah, I mean, this is one of those shows that I'm like, this is definitely, this wouldn't stand out if somebody did in The Boys. So, if The Boys did, like, a gag on a TV show of, like, coming to your streaming service now, this, because, of course, everything has to be turned into a series of some sort on Disney+. I do like the idea of, like, a school of, like, not of gifted mutants or whatever, but, like, a school of people with powers, and you could just get all of the young characters together.
You're describing the New Mutants, by the way.
I am describing the New Mutants, but I'm saying not mutants. I'm like America Chavez and all that, like, and Ironheart even. Like, you get all the really talented next generation into a school together, and that would be a good way of introducing people to them.
But do you think that they will do another, if this ever fucking happens, would they do, and now the kids have to save the entire world. It's that high stakes again.
I hope not.
Really easy to do it with magic, though, is the thing. To just cause a massive threat.
I do like the idea of them saving the school, though. I think a story like that could work. Like, it's like comic books do that all the time, where it's like, this is big for this character, but it's not world-ending. It's just, I gotta do this by the end of school, otherwise, like, my life is over. Not everyone in the world.
Like that scene in Doctor Strange 2 where Wanda attacks Kamar-Taj. Like, that kind of scale,
yeah,
but spread out over a series.
Yeah, I'd just be interested probably more in that. I can see why they want Wong in it. Be weird if they did him, like, it was his show. But, I mean, also, they're probably just going to do everything.
Yeah, like, Strange Academy is a way, like, is how this should be marketed, not Wong.
Well, Strange Academy is actually the name of the school's first appearance. It appeared in 2020. In Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So, like, it's actually called Strange Academy, number one. So, I mean, that would be an easy way to get around it. It's just, this is a school for magic people.
Yeah, and it opens up the magic world a bit, which is still fairly unexplored in Marvel.
And like, also, it has that great thing where it doesn't have to mean anything to anybody else. It could just have, like, a lot of small characters that you can get introduced to, but it's not the end of the world if you haven't seen it. It's just kind of there if you want some extra content.
Also, just, this is completely off topic, but have you watched Reboot on Disney Plus?
No, what's that?
It's a sitcom about their reboot. It's like so in this universe, they're back in like the 80s or 90s, there was a show akin to like Full House and things like that. And it was a comedy. And then 20, 30 years later, this woman wants to reboot that show as a more serious, grounded, gritty version of it, because her father directed the original show and then abandoned her. It was a whole thing. So it's a show about making a show, but it's just really fucking well written and genuinely very, very funny.
Interesting.
So I would recommend that. It's like 10 episodes. There's one season. Maybe there's two seasons, but there's not a whole lot of...
Interesting.
It's not a big investment.
I could get on board. I'm always up for like weird shows like that. Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah.
Like,
also, The Patient on Disney Plus.
I have heard of that. Yeah.
Steve Carell and Donald Gleeson.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
Can't
the
go
lads.
Wrong with a Gleeson, as we all know.
You can't go, if there's a Gleeson involved, you know Irish people have to watch it by law.
Canonically.
As long as we're talking about Gleeson, about time. Let's just
watch it. I'm due for a rewatch, actually.
Everyone tuck in and just watch About Time.
Just watch About Time. Have the tissues handy, lads.
Lads. Also, I just last week, this is just talking about our lives, I just had New Girl on in the background. And I genuinely cannot stress enough how funny that show is. Just watch Winston Bishop's character arc from season 1 to season 5 is that it's so subtle, but he goes from like normal human being to the most psychopathic human being in a funny way that they just like, but it's done so slowly over 5 seasons that you don't realise it. But
until you get go to back season, and start again.
Until you get to season 5, you're like, he's the weirdest man I've ever seen on TV.
That's kind of great. I love that.
So yeah, we're moving on to our next piece of news. And Sean, this is a movie coming out this year that I know you are looking for. Speaking of remakes, reboots of 1990s classic, a 1992 classic, White Men Can't Jump, Sean.
How do you find these stories?
Well, what are you talking about? It's been announced that they're doing it again.
I mean, is this... Does this need to happen?
We could say that about any of these fucking reboots.
How, like, just put the money into a windmill and be
just
done
with once
it.
Again, just stop for a year with the reboots.
Yeah, just take a fucking break on it.
Even, not even the new movies, just the reboots.
It should go to, like, public vote, and if the public wants it, then we make the movie. And reboots aren't eligible.
Also, rapper Jack Harlow has been cast in the lead role of the show.
Good for Jack, I guess.
Good for Jack. Fair fucks to him. Sorry, it's a movie, I should say. And it's going to be released this year. So, I mean, it's already been filmed, Sean.
How did this go under the radar? Do you like White Men Can't? I think I saw it once back in the day.
I think White Men Can't Jump is a good movie.
Do you want a second one?
Well, no, I definitely don't want the reboot, but I'm saying, like, I also haven't gone back, so I don't know if there's any scenes in it now, but I remember being 17 thinking, that's a good movie.
Right, okay. Mm. Now, 1992 comedy. How's that going to fly, do you think?
Well, it's gotta be dangerous.
There's got to be risky stuff in there.
Right? I don't know what's... I can't think of any particular scenes, but there's got to be some danger in there.
Yeah. So, all I'm saying is tread lightly, you know? But if it's a reboot, it's just going to be...
Well, no, the remake, Sean, I mean, this is the press release. The remake isn't simply a modern retelling of the now 3-decades-old comedy, but it will feature an entirely new story. I mean, it's got some of the same elements, but will have a different tempo and rhythm than the original.
Sorry, someone submitted a basketball script, and then they said, well, another basketball movie there.
They wanted to do another one with a dog.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, we either got the idea for, what's it, Air Bud?
Air Bud.
We either do Air Bud remake or White Man Can't Jump remake. They're kind of the only two options.
The dog
we
costs more than Jack Harlow, though.
They do. So. That dog is fucking a diva.
Show me where in the rules it says a dog can't play Jack Harlow.
Did you actually, Colin Farrell talking about the Banshees of Inisherin, you know, like in that movie there's Jenny the donkey?
Yeah.
Him talking about the donkey and how like the donkey had like had other donkeys, but like they were the stunt doubles.
Yeah.
And for some reason psychologically you've seen Jenny the donkey is better than the stunt doubles, even though they're all just donkeys.
Did you watch the Actors Roundtable that they did after
yes!
the Golden Globes? And like Ke Huy Quan and everything like
yes!
that.
Yes!
Like, they were just so... It was just...
Nice!
Like, they were the two nicest and realest actors I've ever seen.
And Brendan Fraser as well, just being really kind.
Yeah, like, and Colin Farrell had this great thing about, like, I just don't want to waste anyone's fucking time with a movie.
Yeah,
that's
yeah and you
got
to get a babysitter
thing.
In to look after the kids. Like, I want them to come to the cinema and actually just enjoy the fucking movie.
Like, it's just so real. I love that,
oh,
man.
Oh, man, yeah. I like how we're just like, they're nice. Just go watch that because they're nice.
Yeah, like, we get all these rumours about Fantastic Four this and Ant-Man that.
Yeah.
But really, I just want people to be fucking nice.
I think I'd more likely to watch some if I'm like, everyone involved in this seems kind of cool.
Yeah, also, good. The Whale hasn't come out in Ireland yet. It's going to destroy me, that movie.
I think so.
I'm not ready,
oh,
Connor.
Sean, I think it's time to get to our final story of the week.
Okay.
And I know you've been looking forward to this. And this is the latest trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which we got our first views of the Quantum Realm,
yeah.
Kang,
yeah.
and MODOK.
MODOK, yes. Big spoilers in this trailer, by the way. So if you don't want to be spoiled, if you want to go in as blind as possible, stop listening now. Or just don't watch the trailer in the future.
Just start screaming.
Like
screaming out loud until we finish.
And then go to the Patreon instead. I don't know what it is.
Oh, here we go.
But I felt nothing watching this trailer.
You're a Debbie Downer.
What about the cool stuff? I don't know what it is. Like, there's cool stuff in it. Like, and it's starting to tie things together. Like, the Quantum Realm and all the fucking spinny rings. That's the same as, do you know when they're scanning the 10 rings at the end of Shang-Chi? It's the same world.
Is it?
So the rings are from Kang, presumably.
Right. So
and
Kang was the one
different.
Who designed them.
Could be. Kang Tech. So that, like, that's really cool. And that connects Eternals Shang-Chi possibly to that. Also Eternals, because Eternal tech is quite similar to a lot of that stuff.
And I think this movie is being used as the link between all of the other movies.
It's just going to tie everything in Phase 4 together, finally.
Yes.
So, like, that stuff is cool. Can we talk about MODOK?
We can indeed. I know you're a Marvel boy, so I was very interested to know how you felt about all this.
Yeah, so MODOK was a regular back in the day. His name was George Tarleton. I can't remember if I did a Hero or Zero on him. I think I wrote it, but never did
it. I don't think you did. Maybe you didn't.
But he was like average intelligence, underwent an experiment to get big intelligence, got a big brain. Brain grew too big, had to build a special chair. Went insane, wanted to kill everyone. He's a big head in a chair. That's MODOK. Now, we see in this trailer, Corey Stoltz, is that his name?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, and he played Yellowjacket in the first Ant-Man movie until he got crushed subatomic and presumably died. But he's back and he has a big head in this and he's in a big chair and it looks dumb as hell. There has to be a better way to do it, right? They just stretched a JPEG over that 3D model. Like,
now, but he's meant to look like a weird guy. He's meant to look like a big brain in a chair.
Yeah, but I shouldn't be able to see the Gaussian blur edges of the effect. Also, I don't know, was that even meant to be in the trailer? Because it's just in the background of one shot.
Oh, maybe it's not. Also, we could say also the effects aren't finished. At the
That is true, but they did also put out Thor with some bad effects.
True. So, but also, if you don't pay people enough money...
it's also coming out, like, next month. Like,
it's coming out February 17th.
Yeah. So, yeah, about a month away. Like, surely most of the effects you were intending to put in the trailer should be finished.
But then can I know you've got a lot of negativity against MODOK. Yeah, yeah. A lot of negativity about everything. But Sean, I'm going to throw this back at you.
Yeah.
Kang. Right?
Outstanding. Outstanding.
He's absolutely just the best, isn't he?
Now, there is no reason for Jonathan Majors to act that well. Like... And this is just the trailer as well, and he's...
But we've also seen him in Loki, where he absolutely killed it.
That's true, but it's a different version as well. So, like, the fact that he can play the same character, but completely different as well. One of my other grievances with the trailer is that it does show a lot.
Like, I think this is the whole movie.
Pretty much. Like, I think we see the final fight. We see... presumably Ant-Man's big hero line, where he's like, I don't have to win, we both just have to lose.
Yeah.
You think Ant-Man's walking away from this one?
You see, we've talked about it, they're afraid to kill people. Mm. But also, I can see Paul Rudd, like, coming, like, he probably doesn't want to do these movies forever. But also, I think I can see him popping back up in Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars.
Yeah, so I think... whatever Kang has going on there in the quantum realm, that needs to be maintained to keep quantum time in place and all this kind of shit. So I think they'll defeat Kang and then Ant-Man will take up the role of keeping the quantum realm together.
Interesting, yeah.
And then, like, the rest of them and his daughter Cassie... can go back and continue Ant-Manning about
and
in
she
the big
can
world.
Then be Young Avengers Ant-Man.
That's what I think is going down here. And that leaves Paul Rudd free to pop back up later in Secret Wars. And
also, he can pop into Secret Wars even if he dies, because they could just take over. Like, it could just be him in
That's
Secret
true.
Wars.
Yeah, like, they can do whatever is needed, really, in Secret
Wars. I was kind of watching this going, there's no way he should survive. Like, I mean, Kang versus Ant-Man is possibly the most unfair fight you could get.
Yeah.
Like, Kang should just absolutely just decimate him. Like, so I don't know where they're going to go and how they're going to get out of that final fight scene without Ant-Man just getting butchered to death. But, I mean, we'll wait and see. I wanted to know how you felt about... I think the most logical way to do the story, I think it's a really good way, is to have the time gap, the 5 years come into play and Paul Rudd's character's like, look, I have 5 years less of my daughter because of what happened. And now Cassie's 5 years older and I missed all of those years and I just want them back. And I think that's actually, this is the first time that they've actually kind of thought about the fucking gap for 5 years.
Like, what happened and the impact of that on people.
The most we ever got was like Falcon and Winter Soldier. They're like, oh, countries kind of came together during the 5 years. Anyway, let's move on. That was just one
let's
line.
Let's never talk about this again.
Yeah.
But like... Surely Ant-Man would have the sense to not go fucking around with time after everything that happened.
See, and also, would he be dumb enough that when Kang promises him, he's like, oh, yeah, that seems like a really good idea. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's desperate to spend time with his daughter or something, but they seemed to... He seems to also be a big celebrity now as well.
Mm.
So he's going to be unsatisfied with that and just want his family, is the whole plan here.
And he can't get enough time with his family because he's now a celebrity, because he brought everyone back.
I guess.
But also,
yeah.
We haven't seen that for anybody else in the time.
No, like Sam Wilson can't get a fucking bank loan. Like,
and he also helped bring everyone back.
Yeah.
So,
again, it's just there's been no consistency about that 5-year period, about what went on and what happens after. And we just keep putting new things without addressing it.
They think this is like the rock solid, like this is going to tie everything together. And I could also see it happening, but there's also been mistakes along the way in other projects where you just never really touched on it and you just kind of moved on. Like even in Black Widow, like you have Florence Pugh's character, like she just disappears. Or sorry, that's in Hawkeye.
That's in the Hawkeye show.
Yeah, but like she just disappears, then just comes back, and it's just like, okay, cool, let's move on.
Yeah, like we never really see her. We see her cry at a grave and shit like that, but we never see her actually come to terms with like, no, 5 years has passed.
Yeah,
like that talk with her friend happens off screen.
Yeah, it's really refreshing watching this trailer. Like, oh, that's a really good way to come in, and I think this is the strongest plot any Ant-Man movie has had.
Probably
by a good distance.
Yeah. Now, look, it remains to be seen, like, because the tone in this trailer is quite serious, but like, it'll be interesting to see if that tone is maintained throughout the film. Or
yeah, there was a lot of comments that I read that were like, oh, no jokes, only jokes that were good or kept it. I was like, yeah, but I think that's the idea they're going for. I'm sure in the actual movie there's going to be a lot more one-liners.
Like, I guarantee MODOK, because MODOK has a mask in this. In front of the chair to hide his fucking identity, even though it's in the trailer. So, MODOK is going to like be like menacing and imposing and leaning over him, and the mask is going to like flip away, and it's going to be that big dumb face, and he's going to say some fucking quip.
Yeah, there's going to be a quip.
There's going to be a quip at that moment, and then a pause. A written in pause to allow people to laugh.
But look, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think this could be good, Sean. I'm not letting you get me down, okay?
Please don't let me do it.
You're the Marvel boy, but I think it's because you love the world so much that you're now like more just, oh man.
Is this how you felt since Man of Steel came out?
Yes. I had to go through all of those years, and now I'm on the other side of just like, I'm ice cold, man. Who gives a shit?
Just it means nothing to me anymore.
I just turned off emotions. It really helped.
When
Batman
vs.
Superman came out, Sean, I seen that. I had to sit through that, right? You've had to sit through middling movies. I sat through Batman vs. Superman.
And then you got the director's extended cut on Blu-ray.
And Suicide Squad. Oh. I sat through the two of them in the same year.
Saw them opening night.
Oh, boo-hoo, Love and Thunder was very quippy. Oh, you bastard.
Look, everything's harder for me.
Sean, I think that's it for this week's Movie Mondays.
What a week. Would you like me to take us out, Connor?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you all very much for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News, Friday with Hero or Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big shout outs to all of our patrons over on Patreon who continue to support the show. Shout outs go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, New Waffles Who Dis, David Clark, Sean Chuck It in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Wallers Forever Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, The Adventures of Indiana Jones, and the franchise that just won't die. Connor and Lorraine are really quite embarrassed about all this nickname shithousery and hope Sean can find it in his heart to forgive them. Russ, to see you in the new year, let's call a temporary halt to these proceedings, a ceasefire, a cessation of this continued back and forth. Parfit and Jackson Bruheim. Thanks everyone for the support. Absolutely couldn't do it without you. Patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast if you want to check us out over there. There is also the merch store link below, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Long.
I've been Sean Neal.
I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.